Now, back home, it has been described as a big winner in the government's new housing plan. The Land Development Agency was awarded an additional €2.5 billion to give it the capacity to become the state's largest builder by 2028. It comes as a new plan to tackle Ireland's infrastructure issues is set to be presented to Cabinet this week. We'll speak to the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Jack Chambers, on that later. Here with us in studio now is John Coleman, Chief Executive of the Land Development Agency. Thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Pleasure, Jackie. Thank you.
John, first off, can you remind us, the Land Development Agency is the government body charged with building homes on state-owned lands. What exactly is the LDA's role in this new housing plan?
The LDA has a very significant part to play in the new housing plan. It follows the building up of the LDA over the past 5 years or so. We had our legislation enacted in 2021. And since then, we've probably got to the point now where by the number of homes under construction at around 6,000 with the LDA right now. We're probably the largest housing deliverer when you measure by homes under construction. So a very significant amount of progress in the last number of years, and we've been further supported and enabled by the government in the housing plan by increasing our overall investment in the LDA to €6.75 billion. And when you add in debt that we can raise and other factors, we're at an overall financial firepower of about €8.75 billion right now.
So is the plan 27,000 more homes by roughly the end of the decade? Is that the target?
Yeah, the LDA should itself directly have about 19,000 homes that are delivered by the end of the decade. And the important thing to note, though, is that that's not just a one-off. The LDA will have built its pipeline to a point when it can produce a really large level of homes, about 3,000 to 3,500 annually thereafter, beyond that time frame. So really, it's an asset for the state in addressing its housing issues in the long term as well.
So you said 6,000 in the pipeline. The LDA has delivered 2,000 so far. It's a big jump to get to that 27,000. Is there enough money there?
Yeah, it is a big jump to ramp up to that scale, but it's important to note our pipeline is actually about 25 to 30,000 homes in terms of the land banks that we control at the moment. The 6,000 is what's under construction right now as we speak with shovels in the ground, and that's increasing. We're on about 15 open sites at the moment. We'll have about 23 or 24 by the middle of next year. So the ramping up should be able to get us to that level by the end of the decade.
Okay, the housing plan commits to huge sums to boost infrastructure to ensure housing projects can proceed. It includes finances for water supplies, transport connections, and extending the electricity grid. How worried are you about infrastructure timelines impacting your delivery of homes?
Yeah, we haven't been affected directly by it to date. I think looking down the road and looking at capacity in the electricity grid, and obviously the delay to the Greater Dublin Drainage Scheme is of significant concern to us. However, we're speaking to ESB Networks all the time. We're speaking to Uisge Éireann all the time in terms of how to manage those issues, ensuring that we get connections to our schemes. I think it's about looking ahead and trying to address the issues now before they arise in the next 3 to 4 years in terms of the difficulty in actually getting connections, which could be an issue if you don't address our infrastructural challenges. And that's why I'm very happy to see the resolve that the government's showing in terms of addressing those issues.
Okay, let's talk about judicial reviews. They are a court process separate to the planning process, and it happens after a planning decision is made. We heard from Conor O'Connell from the Construction Industry Federation on this programme at the beginning of the month, and he said that the rate of judicial review in Ireland is off the charts. What's your experience?
Our experience, we've been lucky enough to date. We've got most of our projects through without a judicial review. We have one very significant project in South Dublin that is delayed for about 1,000 homes due to judicial review. Given that that's going to put about 2 years into the time frame, with cost inflation, that's going to add about €30 million to the overall project cost on something that scale. So it is a significant issue, but not just in relation to housing schemes, in relation to infrastructure that we all need. Like, say, for instance, look at what's held up right now. The Metrolink is held up by JOR. The Greater Dublin Drainage Project, as I mentioned there, is held up by JOR. Very significantly, the apartment standards, which will massively increase the financial viability of building apartments in this country are also held up by JOR. So I think it's about striking the right balance. We can't negate people's rights to take a challenge. I'm not saying that. But we need to focus on the common good. And striking the right balance between individual rights and the common good is critically important. And to be honest, I don't think we have that balance right now. And I think the government is going to address that in the coming days and weeks ahead.
Because judicial reviews can be taken for various reasons. It could be a page missing in an application or legal issues surrounding an application that was maybe looking for too much development and sacrificing quality. Could all of this pushback on judicial review lower standards?
I don't believe so. I think if you look at what is causing issues in the rollout of infrastructure and other developments like housing at the moment, it's not just judicial review. It's a number of things, but JOR is a factor. I think Conor O'Connell's point around the level of judicial review has been taken in this country is one to focus on. We're at least five times the level that's been taken in the UK at the moment, and clearly there's a problem there when you have that prevalence. So I think looking at that area very closely is important. I don't think it'll result in reducing standards. I think fundamentally we have to get the balance right between making sure that these projects that are needed, and let's be straight, needed for the quality of life for people in Ireland to prevail. Is it right that they get unduly delayed by a small minority? I don't think so. And again, that's not to say that people shouldn't have the right to challenge, but they should be dealt with in a better way.
But this is surely about planning sustainable new communities, that's what it says on the LDA's website.
Correct. And we can do that. And we do plan sustainable communities with really well master planned designs, really good amenities. And that's really not what's at issue in relation to a lot of judicial reviews. A lot of them are taken up on technicalities. As you say, there could be 15,000 pages in a large planning application. And if you miss one thing on one of those pages, it can be sometimes brought back to the start. So I think it's about being sensible and making sure that we take account of the issues and objections that people have, but still been able to deal with them in a fair way and be able to get the projects that we need delivered.
As I said, we'll be speaking to the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Jack Chambers, on this programme later. You were on the Infrastructure Task Force. What is your priority in relation to guidance and advice for the Minister when it comes to tackling these problems?
I think my role on the Infrastructure Task Force is as Chief Executive of the Land Development Agency to talk about the issues that we may face as we look ahead. Also on that task force are the Chief Executives of ESB Networks and Ishke Aaron. So we're well placed, we're at the coalface in terms of understanding what the issues are, and so that's the role that we play. We also have a view on how those issues could be overcome, so it's a very collaborative environment, very focused on action and very focused on delivering outcomes quickly.
Because you were meeting monthly, weren't you, correct?
Correct, or maybe even more frequently than that when you consider subgroups that would meet from time to time. So I've seen a huge level of momentum built up around this over the past year, especially particularly through the Infrastructure Task Force. So I'm confident that there can be very meaningful material actions that come out of it that'll make a difference on our ability to need to deliver these projects that every one of us needs to happen.
With the housing plan, more money for the LDA. We see that there's going to be changes in relation to cutting red tape when it comes to infrastructure. The LDA has around 200 staff. Do you need more staff to carry out all of these projects and works?
Yeah, we increase our staff in line with the pipeline of projects that we have. So we're actually at almost 300 now. We grow at a rate of about 10 to 12 a month. We think we'll be at about 400 by the end of next year into the following year, mainly construction professionals. So we're not withheld in any way.
Is that a struggle to get people? Is it a struggle?
No, it was at the start of the LDA when people were still trying to work out what it was. But now people really buy into the ethos of the LDA. It's about public service. It's about delivering housing. And there's a real mission associated with the LDA, and people buy into that. So we compete directly with the private sector for resources. But we have a platform of people that I would say is every bit as strong as what you might see in the private sector. So, no, we're not suffering from issues. And people see the LDA as a very worthy place to work.
OK, John Coleman, Chief Executive of the Land Development Agency. Thank you very much. Back in a moment with news from the United States. Welcome back to This Week. Issues surrounding Ireland's sluggish infrastructure have been well flagged. In July, an infrastructure task force identified 12 barriers impeding infrastructure development, included risk aversion, judicial reviews and slow processing. Now, a new plan to tackle those issues will be presented to Cabinet this week. Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Jack Chambers, is in studio with us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jackie.
Minister, can we talk first about judicial reviews? What are you hoping to change?
So we've seen judicial reviews play a really significant problem now in overall infrastructure delivery. We saw the reaction for people last week when it came to Metrolink, and essentially small procedural issues in many instances are being used and weaponized to impede the public good, the social and economic objective of driving infrastructure delivery. Frankly, I think people across society are totally fed up and frustrated that certain procedural issues are getting escalated into the courts, and we're seeing the enormous growth in judicial reviews of over 40% last year, up 30% this year. And essentially, narrow vested interests are blocking seriously important infrastructure for the Irish economy, whether it's people who want to buy their own home, where basic water infrastructure that critical in communities, electricity substations that the ESB are trying to advance. And we've built an evidence base which shows the risk aversion that's permeated from the current outworking of judicial reviews and the need for fundamental reform. And as a government, we've stood up to bridging the infrastructure deficit in terms of our investment, record level investment in critical areas over the next 5 years. But that has to be matched with fundamental reform that puts speed into action in terms of infrastructure delivery, but fundamentally rebalances the systems that we have. And the systems at present are not working, and that's why reform is as important as the overall investment.
We had John Coleman from the LDA on a few moments ago, and he was talking about technical errors. In relation to technical errors in planning applications, could they be fixed outside the judicial system? Could that work?
Yeah, so there's a number of legislative interventions which I'll be making next year. First will be a critical infrastructure bill to put critical infrastructure projects and accelerate them through the planning process. Secondly, developing emergency powers that seeks to go to the edge of what's legally and constitutionally possible to rebalance rights in the Irish economy. We're a government that stands up for enterprise, for jobs and for investment in infrastructure to build abundance into the Irish economy so we future-proof it into the 2030s and the 2040s. And that's why we have to have targeted deregulation in certain areas, much greater simplification of procedures. And that's why what's happening is we've got a fragmented nature of processes and systems and red tape where minor technical issues are being weaponized by certain individuals to block infrastructure delivery. And that we know that we've had examples of in terms of Greater Dublin Drainage Project. And essentially, no residents' association should supersede the public good and the common good. If that was the case, we would never have built Ardna Crusha. We would never have built the transformative infrastructure which is critical to the future growth of the Irish state and for the Irish economy.
You talked about emergency legislation to fast track critical infrastructure projects through planning and approval processes. Infrastructure is generally seen as high quality once delivered. If you are giving priority to certain major projects, where are the safeguards to ensure that the projects follow the law and are up to high standards?
Well, we absolutely want to ensure standards and proper standards in terms of infrastructure delivery. But what we're talking about here are very peripheral procedural issues, which are simply delaying projects. And if you think of communities out there who have raw sewage going into rivers, and that environmental objective of delivering a wastewater treatment plant is sometimes blocked by a minor procedural issue, might relate to licensing or consenting. We have over 90 regulators overlapping across multiple areas of policy. And that's why we need to rebalance regulation in the Irish economy. So the procedures and the processes are much simpler, that put speed at the centre and also put a duty to cooperate when it comes to delivery of infrastructure. We as a government want to match the investment with high quality infrastructure, but it's about getting it done and making it happen. And that's why we have an infrastructure deficit, where that risk aversion is excessive in the Irish economy. It's excessive in how the state has functioned. And that's why we want to also increase the risk appetite to back senior decision makers and agencies and regulators to really accelerate delivery. And it'll be a real change in how the state functions to prioritise delivery over the next number of years to really build momentum. And we've built the evidence base now to really enhance delivery.
Will there be a cap on recoverable legal costs?
So we'll be advancing an environmental legal cost scheme, the current system.
So just for environmental cases?
Exactly. And that was legislated for by my colleague Minister Dara O'Brien and will be progressed by Minister James Brown. And essentially the environmental costs, legal costs in Ireland are a multiple of what they are in the UK and essentially are being taken and weaponized by certain vested interests, and we need a rebalancing here and that's what will be advanced in the context of the infrastructure plan.
Yeah, and the task force said, it did say, you know, the environmental approval process, it was described as more demanding and time consuming than in similar countries. But are you saying that there is no clear evidence that these extra layers of processes are producing better environmental results and improving outcomes compared to other countries?
I'm saying, if you talk to a community that's waiting years for a wastewater treatment plant, or if you talk to a community that wants affordable homes built but are waiting on multiple approval processes, again, where constraint and process supersedes getting the projects over the line. And there's countless communities and villages across the country, particularly in rural Ireland and across the regions, where there's a real demand for housing, but because of the restriction in terms of wastewater treatment, we haven't been able to put housing in certain communities. So that's about rebalancing in the interest of building more homes, having cleaner water in our rivers and going into our seas. But it's about simplifying the process. And in many instances, we've seen the evidence base where there's been gold plating of European legislation. So we support the simplification of European legislation in terms of the wider reform. But we can simplify legislation and regulation at home. And if we want to continue to grow our economy, to bridge the infrastructure deficit, we can do that whilst protecting, obviously, the environment, but ultimately yielding better environmental outcomes. If you think of the Draghi report last year referenced where we've one of the slowest processes for renewable energy projects across the EU. If we want to decarbonise the Irish economy, simplification and more balance to regulation is as important to accelerate our ambition in terms of energy policy. So this will produce better societal outcomes and that's why we can't continue with the status quo. It'll harm our growth, it'll harm our economic model, and why reform is the number one priority for me in my ministerial brief.
Is it true that government departments and state agencies could have their funding withheld or withdrawn if they fail to make land they own available for energy, water and transport projects?
Yeah, we've seen multiple examples where that, I suppose, where there hasn't been synchrony or coordination around public land. And obviously, as Minister of Public Expenditure, I provide sanction on spending. So as far as I'm concerned, any agency or department that withholds land which is required for critical infrastructure, they'll have a change to their sanction, and that'll have to be advanced as a means to force cooperation. We've had all of the different utilities involved where they've set out examples to us of delays that have existed in response times, and that's why critical infrastructure has to be a priority in how sanctioning requests are received by my department.
Lengthy delays are also associated with compulsory purchase orders. Will that be transferred solely to On Commission Planola?
That's the plan, and we believe that will save significant time as well in the context of the delivery of infrastructure. So again, we've built the evidence base, and the work of the Accelerating Infrastructure Task Force with utilities has shown countless examples where each reform we introduce will save time, will improve delivery, and again improve the momentum that we want to bring in terms of delivery of this critical infrastructure.
The report from the task force also talked about issues surrounding staffing in the construction sector. It was highlighted in that summer report. What's going to be done about this? Because at the start of 2025, an estimated around 178,000 people were directly employed by the sector. Mm. What would you like to get to, and how are you going to do that?
So my colleague Minister James Lawless has continue to expand the apprenticeship model in each budget, and expanding the workforce in construction has been a consistent focus for government. That's also a recommendation in how we're advancing the infrastructure needs in the economy. But what we've sought to do as well is to face the trade-offs and choices in how we invest. So as a government, we've prioritised the foundational systems for growth in energy, water, transport and housing over other sectors. And that's about utilising the workforce and the growing construction workforce.
And more
in these
migrant
critical areas.
Work permits, maybe?
That'll absolutely have to be a focus as we expand infrastructure delivery.
Yeah. Because at the moment, last year, 1,500 to 2,000 permits were granted. Would you like to see? Would there be more?
There will be a requirement as some of these projects commence for increased number of permits to obviously meet the demands that are there.
The timeline for this plan?
So most of it will be for implementation in 2026. We've sought to prioritise the immediate actions we can take at the end of this year and also next year. Also changes in terms of the guidance that I issue around, again, trying to build more of a risk appetite into the public service, cutting some of the steps which are involved in terms of infrastructure delivery. But most of this will be implemented next year. And that's all to give momentum and around delivery and, again, to prioritise reform.
OK, separately, Minister, the Fianna Fáil internal review into the presidential campaign, that is due to be published this week?
Due to be published shortly. It's obviously an independent process that's underway. Three of my colleagues in the parliamentary party are involved in that. So they obviously gave us an update in the last 2 weeks to say that they were finalising their work and it'll be presented to the parliamentary party when it's completed.
According to Fianna Fáil MEP Billy Kelleher, Jim Gavin hasn't been interviewed. Do you know why?
I get it's an independent process, so I'm not involved in the day-to-day workings of it, and it's obviously a matter for the committee to respond to that.
But surely, as somebody who was Director of Elections, you want this investigation to be as thorough as possible, and interviewing the presidential candidate for the party is very important in that.
Well, that's a matter for between the committee and Jim Gavin on whether he's interviewed or not. As I said, that's why it's an independent process, and why they, while they engage with everyone in the parliamentary party and indeed everyone involved in the campaign, it's a matter for Jim Gavin whether he wants to participate or not.
But do you think he should have been interviewed?
Well, look, I'm. It's a matter for him. I'm not going. He's obviously a private citizen. I'm not going to be setting out in the public airways what he should or shouldn't do. And it's a matter between him and the committee and respecting that and in terms of the internal review.
OK, finally, the Israeli President Isaac Herzog has said that he is concerned about the proposal to remove the name of a former Israeli president and his father from a park in South Dublin. High profile US politicians have also been commenting on it. Senator Lindsey Graham said Ireland has become a cesspool of anti-Semitism. Do you think the Herzog name should be removed?
I don't think it should be removed. I think that motion or proposal should be withdrawn. It's extremely divisive. And I think, as the Taoiseach said, it erases a distinctive and rich contribution to Irish society from the local Jewish community there. And it's a denial of our history. And we're a tolerant, inclusive and diverse republic. And this is entirely divisive. And I believe it should be withdrawn by councillors and Dublin City Council.
OK, Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Jack Chambers, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jackie.